From the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, KUAR Public Radio brings you Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, the only program on radio today dedicated to the preservation of comparative generational thought, with your host, Phil Marriage. Welcome to the Crossroads of History.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another 2013 edition of Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow here in Little Rock. I'm Phil Marriage, your host. I'm really glad you guys can join us this afternoon. We're going to be talking about a topic today that probably is part of all of your lives listening to the program today. I wouldn't doubt that one bit. In fact, I would venture to say that most of you are close to one of these things right now. We're going to be talking about phones. If you're driving down the road, you may even have one in your hand, or you may have be talking to somebody else on a phone. But that's the nature of what we want to talk about today. It's interesting how phones have changed over time, and we just want to kind of focus on that. If you'd like to listen to the longer version of the program, all you have to do is go to KUAR.org. You can click on the programs button there and scroll all the way down to the end for Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. You'll be able to find this program right there along with many of our past programs where you can listen to those longer editions. My guest with me here in the studio today is Jonathan Payne. He's an out-of-state systems engineer from Seattle, Washington, home of Nintendo of America, Microsoft, Amazon, and T-Mobile, names that are familiar to all of us. He's a former product tester at Nintendo headquarters, and he's a self-described techie who currently works as a computer support specialist here at UALR and has specialized his education in telecommunications. Jonathan Payne, thanks for being here today and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I want to begin the discussion a little bit on phones. Obviously, those of you who have listened to the program before know that I'm part of the older generation, so I go back quite a ways myself. And as I was thinking about this topic and as it relates to my generation anyway, I remember, I think it was on Sunday night, so I used to watch, this was probably in the late 50s, very early 60s, Lassie. Now, little Timmy would come into the kitchen from doing something. He'd jump up at a little box right by the phone. He'd grab this little thing and start ringing it, ring, 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 and he'd wait for the operator to come on and tell her what he wanted. And that was the phone for him. That's what a lot of people my age and older remember from telephones. One of the other things that is common in our memory is how we had party lines. My grandparents had party lines. Where I lived, we had a regular single line, but when we ever go visit my grandmother and grandfather, it was kind of fun to kind of watch them talk on the phone because they'd lift up the receiver and maybe somebody was on the line and they'd either listen for a while and use, I guess you could probably hear each other if they would do that. Or if no one was on, they'd make their call and maybe somebody else would pick up while they were talking. It was kind of an arrangement, I guess, that had maybe five or six, however many were on their party in that particular area. I grew up in a time where it was telephones. And then another aspect about our discussion today that we'll get into, too, is the telephone book. We'll get into that a little bit. But I do want to bring Jonathan Payne into the program at this point. Jonathan, you and I are going to be talking about phones probably from entirely different perspectives. Do you even refer to them as telephones?
Not especially. It's just sort of a shorthand, I guess. I think the point that it switched from being a telephone to a phone would have been, I would imagine, when we came to be using smartphones. My first cell phone was just a basic flip phone, could actually stream live TV and had a web browser, etc.
That was your first one?
That was my first one. It was fairly advanced compared to some of my friends, so my friends always referred to it as the magic phone.
For our audience, how old are you anyway?
I'm 27.
Okay.
My first phone was my first year in college, so when I was about 19. I still referred to it as a telephone oftentimes. My parents referred to it as a telephone. The cordless phone in the home would be a telephone. But once they became more multifunction, I think that's when people just sort of subconsciously started calling them phones instead. I think it also has a lot to do with today's culture of wanting everything now and instant. Everything from texting to online chatting, it's all shorthand a lot of times. You know, instead of saying be right back, you type BRB. And I think a telephone being shortened to a phone is just a continuation of that type of thing.
When you were a little kid growing up, what kind of phone system was happening in your home?
We had a landline that was a corded one, and then we usually had a cordless phone as well. Later on, we got a second line that my parents used for the internet, dial-up connection. That one was also a corded one as well.
They were terrible, weren't they? Now, let me take you back. When I was your age and a little bit younger, my family would have had one phone, one line, and we were sort of not necessarily restricted in how much we use the phone, but we use the phone for very pragmatic reasons. And it wasn't really a situation where we were tied to the phone all the time. There would be many evenings, probably days, where the phone would ring maybe once. Sometimes it wouldn't ring at all. We were just not accustomed to thinking in terms of our life revolving around a phone. How's that changed for you?
I'd say that I feel naked without my phone. It's so multifunctional. It's involved in almost everything I do on a day-to-day basis. It's my GPS. It's obviously it's the phone function, but it's contact. It's Facebook. It's GPS. It's how I stay connected. It's how I look up information. It's a tool that you need at this point. It's not just a convenience. It's really a tool that has become very vital in many ways.
When you mentioned your first phone had video?
It could stream TV.
Well, my first cell phone, if you want to call it that, was a bag phone. And in fact, at that time, you were thought to be pretty well off if you had a phone in your car. Well, mm-hmm. I was involved in a business where the phone was provided by the business I was in, okay. And it was a bag phone, but it was a party line cell phone. And again, I had to hit buttons to find a clear line, and you could hit a button and actually listen to people's conversations and find, you'd have to punch the buttons to try and find a clear line. That was the early days of mobile phones, I guess you'd say. Again, a far stretch from what we have now. Is it possible, this is something I don't know, so I'm just going to ask, is it possible to carry on more than one conversation with more than one person on a phone in different locations with cell phones?
Do you mean like multiple conversations simultaneously?
Yeah.
Or you can do three-way calls and such. I am not aware offhand of a way to do that with multiple different separate calls.
I do know that you could have the three-way phones with regular landlines and that sort of thing, but I'm not up on all the latest gadgetry there. Speaking of phones in the home, one of the things I mentioned in our introduction was the telephone book. One of the movies that portrayed something about phone books was The Jerk with Steve Martin. In the middle of this movie, and you haven't seen the movie, right?
I have not, no.
Okay. He is so excited because the phone book has just been issued and he searches through it to find his name in the phone book. And I remember that the phone book used to be inches and inches thick, depending mm-hmm. on what town you lived in. It was very, very thick, very, very useful. It was something that was by everybody's phone. Are they a part of your usage anymore at all?
My parents still use them. They don't use the giant ones really much. They look up most of their numbers online, but they still have a few of them laying around. My mom still uses her own handwritten phone book for contacts with her friends instead of the address book in her phone for the most part. That may have changed in the couple years that I've been here at school, but at least that's how it was when I was last home.
Did you have to train her?
A little bit, yes and no.
I had to be trained.
Once you show her something, sometimes it'll take a time or two, but once she understands it, she'll usually have it down. She won't necessarily venture into discovering new areas of the phone, though. But once she does discover something and discovers the usefulness of it, she tends to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use phone books. I don't even use the Yellow Pages app on my phone
anymore.
That
was my next question, was the Yellow Pages. That used to be a vital part of businesses, of individuals as they were working through the day. You would use the Yellow Pages a lot,
mm-hmm.
and you don't.
I used to. I used to have a Yellow Pages app on my phone, but I don't even need that anymore. I just use voice search now. I just, you know, if I'm trying to get a hold of a business, I'll just say, call such and such business on such and such street. If I know the street name, it'll just call it. It'll search it. It'll crawl the web, pull the number, and just dial it for me. My phone's been able to do that for quite a while. I started using it probably about 8 months ago, but I know it's had the capability before that. But a recent update to my phone highlighted that feature that I was not aware it had before. A recent update to the Android operating system has made that even more pronounced and centered, sort of in the same way that Siri is for the Apple system for iPhones.
So you can say just about anything and get a response in just a matter of a few seconds.
Exactly.
And it's pretty darn close to what you need.
Exactly. I can tell, just like we did earlier, I can say search such and such to find that actor. I can say navigate to and say a business place, say an address. It'll give me the directions there, turn by turn. I can search out terms. I can say call such and such. If it's a person in my contacts list, it'll just call them. If it's a business, it will try and find the best match online and put that number in. It's not always accurate. Sometimes I'll say call a certain place and it'll try to connect me to someplace in Texas. Not quite working there, but if I can narrow it down, say call such and such a place in Little Rock, it becomes a little more precise. It's basically treated the same way as a Google search. My phone is an Android phone, and so a lot of these commands, it's just treating them as a Google search and taking the information it finds and then turning that back to the phone.
Back to a voice.
Exactly. So if you went on, did a search on Google for, say, Walmart, Little Rock, Arkansas, you'd find the locations there around here. You might find the one that's on Shackleford, but there's a couple of them around here.
Mm-hmm.
You could get the phone number there. They usually will have an address, phone number, a little bit of contact info. Well, if I just tell my phone, call Walmart on Shackleford, it's going to do with a Google search for it. It's going to find that phone number listed there, and then it's just going to send that number back into the dialer app of my phone and call it.
Do you like that?
I do. Very convenient.
People your age, the obvious question I'm sure many people listening to the program who are my age and maybe not quite as old as I am is, what would you do without the phone?
It's interesting. When I forget my phone, oftentimes I'll turn around to go back for it, even if it makes me late, just because I rely on it so much.
Do you forget it very often?
No. It's very much a habitual thing. As soon as I come in the house, I put it on the charger. As soon as I leave, I grab it. I pretty much always have it with me.
Okay, let's get into the sociological and maybe the philosophical aspects of phones for people your age.
Okay.
As it was for people my age and say, middle generation people who are a little older. The phone, as I mentioned earlier, was not a part of our life that way. We could go days, if we needed to, without using the phone. If we planned our days, let's say if you were involved in a business that you weren't near a phone, you planned your day to either call before mm-hmm. or after work. In between, it didn't bother you at all. It wasn't a focus. It wasn't something that was a habitual thing, as you mentioned there.
Very true.
For those of us in this older generation, we were more at ease, I think, with the phone. Whereas with you guys, are you guys at ease with the fact that you wouldn't be with the phone for a while? Is it traumatic?
I wouldn't say it's traumatic, but it's certainly not preferable. And it's easy to get disconnected because you're used to it being pretty much the sole contact point you have with reaching other people. A lot of times, it's the only place you have their contact info saved. We don't write people's numbers down like our parents' generation did. We just have it saved in our phone. We lose our phone, we lose that contact info.
So if we asked your mom and dad what their first phone number was, they'd probably remember it.
I imagine so.
Mine, going back, this would have been in probably 59 or 60, was Ontario 25593. That number is in my head, and I don't know why, but I don't know probably 10%, not even that probably, of the phone numbers of the people I know, the people I work with. They're all in that phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even for me in an older generation perspective. You don't remember any phone numbers?
I have my parents' cell numbers memorized. I have their home number memorized, my dad's office, his direct line. Outside of that, I don't really have a whole lot of numbers memorized except like the main line to the school here.
Stuff you use all the time.
The office. I mean, other than just the things that you need on a constant basis, but I don't really have any numbers memorized of friends though.
Yeah, you just click.
Exactly.
So you guys would be tough without your phones, right? How
Very
would you get
so.
A hold of each other? You really, if without that contact list, you really wouldn't be able to, right?
It is difficult, and that's why oftentimes if someone does lose a phone, you'll see them send out a mass email, a mass Facebook message, etc., saying, you know, help, I've lost my phone, please send me your contact info, because they have to repopulate that from scratch. A lot of companies have started to try and find ways to improve that. For example, in the Android operating system, a lot of times now, some of the newer phones, they will save the contact info to a cloud database, so that if you get a new Android phone, as long as you use the same email account to set up the new phone, it'll pull all of your contact info from that email account back into the phone, so you can transfer your contacts from system to system like that. I believe Apple has a similar system set up, but I'm an Android person. I don't really use Apple all that much.
Going back to the party line time
mm-hmm.
and using the word security, the only security involved with party lines was if you were paying attention, if you heard the click or you didn't want the people down the street to know what you were talking about, you wouldn't talk about it. Security for phones was pretty easy.
Very true.
What about security for people in your generation? Do you guys worry about security with phones? Or what issues are involved?
I think security is sort of a thought in the back of people's mind. It's not really a huge attention getter anymore as far as phones go, because there's an expectation that the corporations that make these phones have a responsibility to make them secure. And so people will generally just assume that they are, regardless of whether they are or not. They just assume that they are. Yes, people have an expectation of security, and if you were to ask them, they would want it to be secure, but I don't think people really worry about it a whole lot.
Even transferring data over the phone, is that getting to be not so much of a big worry anymore?
I think with some of the revelations that have come out about how the NSA is tracking so much information, I think that has come into a whole new light that people are far more concerned about before now than they were before.
Well, let's stay on that point for just a moment. Those who've listened to the program in the recent weeks, we did a two-part series actually on surveillance. And one of the issues that came up in our discussion there a little bit, or just a small part of it, was the phone idea of everything that's involved with that. Is that something people should really be worried about that you see going into the future too?
Just to clarify, you're talking about being worried about whether a government or an entity is tracking your information?
Mm-hmm. Via the phone.
Via the phone. I guess I'd have two perspectives on that. On one hand, it doesn't really bother me all that much, because if you don't have anything to hide, then, you know, there's, you know, no big deal. But on the other hand, though, you get one little gradual bit of privacy taken away for the sake of security. Some people might not mind that. Others are, but some people won't. But gradually, as that gets eroded more and more, eventually it is going to get to a point that it bothers you. But you've let it slide so far that at that point, there's nothing you can do. So even if it doesn't seem like a big issue, I still think it's something that needs to be taken very carefully. Although there isn't data that, you know, I'm concerned, oh my goodness, what if this, you know, is discovered off my phone? It still is like, well, I still would want an expectation of privacy from my phone, though, as well at the same time.
Okay, I want to blend what we talked about in the way of phone books with what we're talking about with security and surveillance. At this point, I don't think there's a possibility to say like you did where you'd say, call Phil. You can't find my cell number, can it?
No, it can't. Not at this point.
You sure?
It depends. Like, I have your number from the voicemail that you left when
right.
You called me.
Right.
If I'd saved that number, I hadn't. But if I'd saved it, then I could have used the voice command to call you.
But people you don't know, there's no real phone book for cell phones, is there?
Oh, for cell phone numbers? No, not that I'm aware of. I'm sure there's a way to find that information if you wanted to, but I'm not aware of a way to get that quickly offhand just out of a voice command.
Well, interestingly enough, one of the aspects of doing this program is finding guests such as yourself.
Okay.
And a lot of times I'm looking for numbers and they don't have phones at home.
Mm-hmm.
They just have cell phones. And if I can't contact them through their business location or their school or wherever it is that they're involved, if I can get a person to refer me to them, then they'll call me, that kind of thing. But it is a little bit uncomfortable and hard to deal with when you really want to get a hold of somebody. You know their name, you may even know where town they live in, but you can't find them. They're not listed anywhere.
Very true.
That's not very convenient. You guys
No.
working on that at all?
I'm not, no.
I mean, do you think that's something we'll see in the future?
It wouldn't surprise me, because landlines are becoming less and less popular. In my apartment, up until the last year, we didn't even have one. And the only reason we have one is one of the guys who lives with us, his mom, for whatever reason, is especially partial to landlines. And so when he was moving in, she sent a landline with him. And it's pretty much just exclusively set up in his room for him.
Mm-hmm.
None of the rest of us even use it. I don't even know the number to our apartment. All I have is my cell phone. So we have a landline, supposedly, but I've never used it. I don't even know the number to it or anything.
Do you recall a time when you could go to just about any corner and find a payphone?
I do.
What about now?
Pretty much non-existent. And I think going back to a comparison of older generations versus current generations, I think that's why a lot of people used to be comfortable with not having a phone, and now people are a little on edge when they don't have their phone. In the past, even if you didn't have a cell phone, most businesses would let you borrow their phone if you need to make a call. There were pay phones all over the place. It was a much friendlier culture, so to speak. It was more of a, I guess the best way I could compare it is, I'm from Washington, and so the South is known for hospitality. And when I came down here, everyone was very warm, inviting. You run into someone in the store, and you can strike up a 15-minute conversation with them. You've never met them before, but you'll be friends by the time you're done and leaving. And I think that attitude was much more common across the country. And so there was a sense of safety, and there was also just a sense of businesses would let you use a phone if you needed to. It wasn't a no, this is a corporate phone. We can't let, you know, any non-employee person use it, et cetera, et cetera. So even if you didn't have a cell phone, there were plenty of ways to get in contact fairly easily if you needed to. And since we didn't have devices that saved numbers for us, people just naturally had numbers memorized.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there weren't cell phones, I think there was still sort of a connected mentality, just in a different way.
One of the other aspects of phones, telephones, is the financial end of it and how it impacts mm-hmm. us. Going back again to those of us in the older generations thinking backwards, the cost of a phone wasn't a very big part of your budget at that particular time. I mean, it was sort of. I mean, if somebody would make a lot of long-distance calls on a landline, you'd have control of that a little bit. And you pretty much could deal with your phone cost as a minor part of your budget. Take us through the arc, if you would, of how the finances have changed for phones, cell phones, et cetera, for your generation.
For my generation, most people would be on a cell phone plan, either an individual one or a family plan, and they're not cheap. You can get a prepaid plan that sort of pay as you go. Those can be manageable for some people. But for someone who is a heavy data user like me, those don't work all that well. With how extensively I use my phone for GPS navigation, web browsing, pretty much anything, I use a lot of data, far more than the 2 gig cap that a lot of companies put on. And that's one of the reasons that I'm on an unlimited plan, but it's expensive too. And right now I'm on a family plan, so I'm not positive what the exact breakdown is, but I think it's somewhere around like $130, $150 a month for 3 lines with unlimited data.
You see that as a problem that's going to stay the same or get more expensive as time goes on, especially because as you get older, you're going to be as dependent then or have expectations for phone use then as you do now and maybe even more. Are you worried about the cost rising or do you think it's going to level off?
I don't think it's going to rise where it'd be out of hand. I would expect the price to go up just naturally as the price of everything goes up, but I don't see it being anything just unreasonable.
Do you have any friends that have said that it's just too expensive, I need to stop using my phone?
No, they eliminate other things first.
I'm glad you said it that way. What do they eliminate?
Movies, going out to eat, frivolous expenses, finding ways to lower their other bills, eliminating other bills. I know people that have even canceled their internet subscriptions to be able to afford their phone with the internet on that. Actually, that's during the summer, that's what I did, because we had 4 of us in our apartment over the school year, and splitting a internet bill was fairly cheap for us. But over the summer, that was not something that I could afford very easily. And so we canceled that, and I just had my phone tethered to my laptop and just ran the internet through there. So I still had internet, just it wasn't as fast as what we'd had before, but it was sufficient, and it got me by for a couple months until the guys came back for the new school year, and we got our subscription back again where it was an affordable amount.
And there's also Wi-Fi.
Very true. Although I don't use the campus Wi-Fi. Being that it's a school and a government-funded entity, the school has a number of regulations and restrictions on it that just make it somewhat cumbersome to use. For example, the school has a restriction of only one device to one internet port. If you need to set up any kind of splitters or anything like that, you know, it gets complicated.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about phones today on Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. I'm Phil Marriage with my guest, Jonathan Payne. He's a computer support specialist here at UALR, and he's joining me today talking about phones from our generational perspectives. Coming back to you on this, Jonathan, I want to ask you about the difference between your usage of texting and talking. I know that a lot of young people I see really don't talk on the phones. They use them more with their thumbs and they're texting all the time.
Very true. I'm a little bit of abnormality in that I generally prefer talking over texting, but most of my friends prefer to text over talk. Just the other day, just this last week, as I was walking across campus to my office, actually, I saw a guy who was going by on a skateboard with his head down, buried in his phone, texting as he was skateboarding across campus.
How do you do that?
I'm wondering the same thing. It was entertaining to see a couple close misses, though, that I don't think he even realized.
Mm-hmm. Well, then let me ask you about the difference between, I guess you'd say etiquette, the do's and don'ts of phones. It's obvious to a lot of people of all generations that phones overtake whatever we're doing when you're involved with somebody else. If you're in a business situation and the phone rings to the person you're talking to, they often mm-hmm. stop what talking to you and take the phone call. And do you guys have any protocols that you see that are annoying as a younger generation that you guys need to work on or other people need to work on, or really doesn't matter?
I think there's a couple ways that you could answer that. On one hand, phones are so ingrained into our generation that they're just there and they're always there, so we're used to them being there, whether it's our own or someone else's. At the same time, there can be times where it comes across as a little bit rude. If you're just hanging out in a social situation with multiple people, there's not really any type of taboo of, you know, oh, don't text or don't talk or things like that. It's a social situation. But if you were, say, spending time one-on-one with someone or in the middle of some type of serious conversation, at that point, the phone should probably be put away. The same level of etiquette that you would say, don't answer the home line. You know, if you're in the middle of dinner, you're not going to answer the phone. If you're in the middle of an important family discussion, you're not going to answer the phone. Sort of that same principle would probably be applied to cell phone usage as well.
Are you selective when you look at the phone? You can tell who's calling you if you answer it or if you decide to answer it or not?
Occasionally, yes. If it's a number I don't recognize or if it's a friend and I'm in the middle of something really important, then I can let slide. If it's something where I know it's time sensitive or, you know, a family member, things like that, then I'll be like, you know, hang on just a moment, I need to take this, it's so-and-so. But I'll always preface it to the person first, saying, you know, hey, this is so-and-so calling, I need to take this, you know, instead of just ignoring them and answering the phone.
Well, what do you think annoys young people the most about phone usage? I'll tell you the thing that annoys me.
Okay.
In a business situation, if you're dealing with a customer or a client or whatever, and their phone rings, and they actually do prefer to stop the almost dead in their tracks talking to you and just take the phone, and sometimes they'll even walk away from me to take the call when we've been involved in something that's business-related, and it is annoying.
That can be. A couple things that come to mind that I've experienced, not so much on the social side of things, but on the business side of things, is I used to be a cashier at a grocery store. Before I worked at Nintendo, I was a cashier, and there were so many times that people would come to the checkout stand on their phones. It was very entertaining, actually, how many times they'd be trying to go through the checkout process, and you would be trying to ask them the questions that sometimes were required to ask them, like for promotions, other times asking them to try and clarify check, cash, credit, debit, paper, plastic, etc., and they'd ignore you completely. It's like the question doesn't even register with them. You run everything through, you bag in the default set of bags. If they're not given an answer, you do one by default. And then at the end, they look at this huge stack of bags and they're like, well, wait, I wanted such and such. And you're sort of thinking to yourself, it would have been nice if you mentioned that when I asked. But it is what it is. You know, it's part of it. When you're in a situation like that, you're paid to deal with things like that as well. It's customer service.
Now, I would bet that you would probably say that those kind of people who you saw doing that fit all the generational boundaries.
Yes, but the most common age range that I saw that in was usually in the 30 to 40-year-old age range.
Okay, why? Why do you think that?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's just a lack of understanding of cell phone etiquette, or if they were just so busy or so stressed with things going on in their day that it didn't even register. I don't know what the reason was, but that's just, in my experience, that's what I've run into.
What would you see young people do or older people do when the phone rang?
As you mentioned earlier, where the younger generation usually prefers to text over talk, usually they were texting when they came through the checkout line, but they would stop their texting to look up and interact and then go back to their texting. Much easier to do versus someone who's on the phone tends to be engrossed in the conversation.
I'm assuming that if you're a texter all the time, that when there's the pause, the silent pause, you're used to that. It's this guy's doing something. She's doing whatever. She's busy. She'll get back to me.
Exactly.
Whereas the phone is not that way. Does it require your attention? Does it snag you?
I don't think so. I treat both, at least for myself, I treat both about the same, whether it's a text or a call. Now, if someone calls two times in a row, then you know, okay, it might be a little bit urgent. Yeah. And if they called five times in a row, you're thinking, all right, who died? Mm-hmm. Outside of that, if you have the time, you take it. It's the polite thing to do. But if you're in the middle of something, if you're busy with something, if you're doing something important, then you would let it slide until you can have time to come back to it and dedicate your attention to it.
Well, take me into your 40s or your 50s or your 60s. Do you think you're ever going to run through a time where you're just tired of the phone or It's just not going to be as important, or something's going to happen that you, even in your line of work, that you recognize, hey, there's going to be a technological advance where it's going to be not at all what we see today. Is the phone, do you think, always going to be this way for people younger as they get older?
I think the phone or whatever we use in place of phones will always have this level of impact. I don't know if we'll still be using phones per se when we're in our 50s or 60s, or if they're going to be integrated into other devices they already have, for example, say a watch. For example, Samsung has just announced their Galaxy Gear watch, which is going to be able to route calls from your phone into your watch. It wouldn't surprise me if in the next 10 years, if we have devices that can function as phones, that are also just your watches as well, or other items you would typically use.
There's going to be several people listening to the program who are my age who are going to think, he's talking about Dick Tracy, which goes back to when I was a kid with the everything was on his wristwatch.
Samsung's commercial for this actually has featured that, yes.
Yeah. So is that the future? One of the things I thought about my own particular life, because I grew up without the phone, as we mm-hmm. mentioned earlier, but it has become part of my life too, even at my age, at 64, that it's hard to think of going through the day without the phone. But then I've also thought, there have been a few times when I've gone someplace and actually put the phone down for a day or two. Is that something you would do?
Not typically, not unless I was going through something where that was a purposeful, like, you know, okay, well, here, let's see what a typical week is like without a phone as an experiment or something like that.
Well, would you go on a vacation to a place that didn't have coverage? Then you know you were going to be gone for, say, 2 weeks.
I would be willing to do that, sure.
You're taking some time.
I had to think about it, yes. So, but no, there can certainly be benefits to that. I guess I wouldn't purposely go without a phone if I was somewhere where a phone would be functional, but I wouldn't have an objection to going someplace where a phone wouldn't work if I had a reason for going there.
There's always satellite phones, right?
There's that as well, yes.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So, one thing that I found entertaining was when I was looking over the sort of the topics that you wanted us to discuss. And there's the mention of party phones. I actually had to go to my coworkers, some of whom are older than me, and said, what are these? I'd never heard of party lines before.
You had not?
Didn't even know what they were.
Really?
Yeah.
Some of them obviously knew.
Yeah.
Others maybe didn't?
The ones that were my age didn't, except for one. And then the older generation, they were very familiar with them, and some of them had even had experience with them. But I'd never even heard them before. I didn't even have conceptually an understanding of what they were until actually just earlier today.
Well, just today? Really?
Today, yeah. I asked them this morning at work.
Well, let me put it into language that you might understand pretty well from your age. It was sort of like the early Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Because you could pick up the line and there was somebody like right there if they were on the line. Party lines were kind of fun, mm-hmm. and they were also kind of annoying. Because you had to be patient. If there was somebody jibber-jabbering, and they were rude, and they wouldn't get off the line. I remember this at my grandma's house. There were a couple of her neighbors that she just thought, they're always on the line. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't get off. And so you couldn't use the phone as long as the party line was sticking up. It was tragic, I guess. Because they were probably as dependent on that party line in that time frame as you guys are, as I am, with the cell phones as they are. Think we'll ever see any more phone booths?
I would be surprised, unless it was some type of retro decoration mm-hmm. type thing, but I would not expect so.
One time, this is just a memory that comes back to me, a number of years ago, I had to go up to the Walmart executive offices up there in Bentonville, mm-hmm. and I went to the wrong building. It happened to be where the vendors bring all of their stuff that gets into the stores, and these are the salespeople.
Okay.
And what I remember about that place was there were more phones lined up against the walls. I mean, every wall had phones on them all mm-hmm. over the place. And there were desks where people were talking about their item, whatever it was. And then they would go to the phone and call probably back to their business. I bet there aren't any of those there right now. Probably all those people have cell phones.
I would imagine so.
They're making some other use of that place.
I don't know if it's worth noting or not, but just an example of how heavily dependent like I am on my phone. Right here, I have my phone tethering an internet connection to my laptop right here. Even in coming here for this interview, I had brought my laptop and I didn't know if you were going to have Wi-Fi or not, but it didn't really matter because I had my phone and I could just tether it right in with the data connection from my phone.
You know, there's probably an age barrier where people, like, I wouldn't know how to do that. And I suppose if somebody showed me, I could figure it out, or they'd help me. But if I had to sit down and do the tethering, it's just a little bit beyond me. And people your age, it's probably just right there. You probably do it all the time.
It can be hit or miss. It just depends on how techie a person is. I've got many friends that have a far greater understanding than even I do, and others that don't even have the slightest idea as well. My parents are a great example. I mean, you show them the areas that are applicable to their lives with a phone or a smartphone and how to use it, they'll use that feature. My mom will be willing to experiment a little bit with a phone to find new things, or she'll read about something and she'll see if she can try it. And then sometimes it works, sometimes it gets messed up and have to fix it. Whereas my dad is sort of the opposite, and he's afraid of messing something up, so he doesn't try the new things until I show them to him. And then he enjoys those new features.
Mm-hmm. Are apps a thing that may change over time? Are there some that have fallen away that you guys just don't really care about anymore? I'm thinking of the early video games that came out, Pac-Man. I thought there would never be a day without Pac-Man. But
there's retro versions of that game now available for computers, phones, etc.
Is gaming on phones something that's a big thing for young people?
It is, yeah, very much. It's a way to pass the time. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting in a doctor's waiting room, when you're on a car ride, when you are needing a break from homework, when you're on lunch break at work, there's lots of things to just pass a few minutes.
Well, you almost said the word that was coming into my mind, and that is pacify. Yeah. Is it somewhat of a pacifier?
I don't think I'd go that far. I think it could be. It could be sort of just a default when you're bored sometimes. But
well, I do it myself. It's become so ingrained in your thinking. In fact, I don't even think I turned my phone off when I came in here today to talk with you. Yeah. I probably should have, and a lot of times I do, but I don't think I did today. So if it went off.
Yeah, I have mine on. I have it silenced, but I have it on. One thing that's interesting, and I think this is more my generation than some of the older generations, is my phone is one of my primary connections to get information, even more so than a computer is now. Like, I get most of my news off my phone. I use my news apps on my phone versus news websites on a computer.
Or television?
Very true, yeah. Usually the TV is just on, like in our case, we usually have it on like the History Channel or the Cartoon Network or something like that, where it just has interesting stuff on. We very rarely actually watch the news on TV because you can get so much more information so much quicker from a phone. It's
now you're talking about something that could have long-range effects with television type programs for news, right? Yeah,
very, very true. There's been so many times where there'll be a news story on TV or an article you see in a newspaper, and I'll see that and I'll be like, I read about that 2-3 days ago on my phone. It surprised me that they weren't airing this as, you know, breaking news or, you know, this new information, and it was like I'd already seen this 3 days earlier. It's the same transition from TV to computers as computers to phones. A lot of people 5 years ago were transitioning to getting their news off a computer instead of the TV because, again, they could get to websites that just had so many more articles listed. They could read them. They could skim them. They could get what they wanted, the amount of information they wanted in the time frame that they wanted, instead of saying, here's a TV station. You know, the news is at this particular time. If you aren't watching TV at that time, you miss it. And they air their teaser story that you really want to see, but they make you wait 20 minutes into it before they tell you about it, and then it's a 3-minute blurb, versus being able to go online, instantly get that, read
YouTube
a whole page, or, you know, exactly.
Yeah,
and get more information, find another website, get additional information, and then you're done. And you're done in 5 minutes.
Interestingly enough, when you mention that, Jonathan, it sounds to me like that we could jump ahead 10 years and we'd say, when, just like we started when we began the program, when did it stop being called a telephone and a phone? 10 years from now, we may be saying the same thing about television versus what you're talking about, the news delivery. Mm-hmm. It sounds like there is a trend that your generation is going to want to see away from stagnant reportage of information
Very
when you can
so.
Get it right away.
Very much so. I mean, it's something that I think is somewhat annoying to a lot of people in my generation, just the way a classic TV newscast is, because it may not necessarily be the topics that interest you. It may not be at a time that is convenient for you, and you have to wait through all the other stories until you get to something that you do want. Versus, you know, it was TV to a computer, And now it's even faster off a phone because you just pull up your news app on your phone and you can break down by category and get all the newest stories that are refreshed every time you look at it. So it's very convenient. It's very quick.
And you can isolate the weather from that if that's what you're interested
exactly.
in or sports or whatever.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, we've been talking a lot today about phones. We didn't mention, I think we may have said the word telephone four or five times. We've been talking about phones today here on Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. And I do want to thank my guest for being with me here today to talk about it, Jonathan Payne. He's a self-described techie who currently works here at UALR's in the computer support specialist area, and he has specialized his education in telecommunications. So let me ask you that one last thing about your specialization in telecommunications. Is it telecommunications for visual or audio?
My specialty is basically in the web and cell phone networks. So pretty much what our topic is today.
Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us here today. Folks, if you'd like to listen to the longer version of the program, you can catch it at KUAR.org. Just click on Programs, slide down to Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow at the very end of the programs list there. You'll be able to listen to this longer version and all of our other programs too. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow is a production of KUAR Public Radio, Little Rock.